Go to my message to you. My scripture reading is in Micah 6. And I'd like to start reading at Micah 6 and verse 6. With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the Lord on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in the thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these words. Heavenly Father, we know that your words are life. Heavenly Father, we ask for more light to guide us, more truth to let us know of you more clearly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you're doing within our church and our church people. And we ask you to bless these words and help them to help each of us as you would have. In the name of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. And my text is verse 8 of Micah chapter 6. He has told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? My message to you today is to please God. It's no question that each one of us would consider, as Christians, we would know that it is a very important thing to please our Heavenly Father. And see, so we would want to do those things which would separate out and give honor to God, those things that would please Him. To please God, we must first recognize that there is only one true God. All others are pretenders. All others came into existence through man's thinking, man's hands and inventions brought any other supposedly gods into existence. But the Word lets us know that there is only one God. We must recognize that there is only one God, the God of the earth and the universe. He is the creator of all that we see, all that we have, all that we know. It all came about by Him and through Him. And He sustains it all, just as we see it. He is the creator of all. He is the God from the beginning, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the God of all eternity. I would like to, for us to go to Isaiah 44. Let's go there first. Isaiah 44 and start at the 6th verse. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Any other scripture that you would read within God's Word, no matter where it is, no matter how it's stated, it is not intended for you to believe that there is other gods because besides the one true living God. It is inventions of man that is spoken about in some of these scriptures. That perhaps by the way that the verse reads would lead you to, or someone perhaps would think that there were other gods, but only one true living God. In essence, there is only one God. And God Himself says, there is no God besides me. Let's go to Isaiah 48 now, and the 17th verse. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. Now, pay attention to this. He's talking to His people, for sure. But He's talking to us today. We are His people today. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, and your offspring like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from my presence. Do you see? In order to please God, we must accept the fact that there is only one true living God. And it is our God, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the God of Jesus Christ Himself. I'd like for you to go to John 20. The Gospel of John 20 and verse 17. Jesus said to her, now this is Jesus died, was put in the tomb, and at the end of the 3 days and three nights, certain of the brothers and sisters went to check on Him, certain of His followers. And this is recording one of those instances where He's being checked upon after His death. Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, and my God and your God. Can anything be clearer to you? Our God is the same God as the Father of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God the Father. We had a scripture in our Bible study this morning that I'd like to go over one other time. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. We have to know that God is our God and that He is from the beginning and that it was His plan to save mankind in the way that we know through the sacrifice of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. In my scripture reading to you today, in Micah 6, 6 through 8, did you get from any of those scriptures that the scriptures was seeking to know what would please the Father, what would please God? And did you get from those scriptures that human sacrifice was mentioned within those? And it is definitely a reminder of Abraham being willing to sacrifice his only begotten Son, because that's what God asked him to do, and he was willing to carry it through. But remember, the angel stopped him as he was going through. But the point is, he was faithful. He did what God asked him to do. With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to Him with burnt offerings, with yearly calves? That makes us think of all of the sacrifices that was going on throughout the year, and particularly at some of these festival days of the Lord, doesn't it? In Micah 6 and 7, does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and in 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts? Do you see what I'm saying? A reminder of Abraham. Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious act, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? To please God. These verses tells us, what doth the Lord require of thee? It's not these burnt offerings and sacrifices. It's not the sacrifice even of your firstborn only begotten Son, as was Abraham. What doth the Lord require of thee? Number one, to do justly. How? By obeying God and doing His bidding within your best ability. He gave us His Ten Commandments, the royal law of God, written by the finger of God. Could anything have been more important to God then or now in being statutes and commandments for us to guide our daily life, our life toward Him, our life toward our neighbor? To please God, we have to do justly. We have to do right toward God, obeying His law and doing His bidding, and treating your neighbors right, justly, with integrity. Number two, to please God, we have to love mercy. This is a word of partnership, this to love mercy. It's a word of unity. And the Hebrew word here, or the word used for mercy, is hesed. And it means a partnership between, an agreement, a unity. To love mercy, we need to recognize God's love and His mercy to us and to all of mankind. God had to have such love to bring mankind into existence and to want that personal relationship with each of us, to have the plan that He had for all of mankind, to redeem the ones that would respond to Him and open their hearts and lives to Him, to come and be a part of His family. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will would come to Him and be that part of His family. To love mercy, we need to not only recognize God's love and mercy for us and the plan that He has for all of mankind, including us, but we need to recognize our own loyalty to God, a requirement of loyalty to God. We need to put Him first in our life, not last. We need to give Him the best of our lives, not the leftovers. We need to think of Him first when we have problems, not last. Not go to the medicine cabinet, not go to the doctor's office whenever things go wrong for us and our family. We need to go to Him first. It is showing love toward Him. It's showing trust. It's showing where our confidence lies. To love mercy. And number three, to please the Lord after doing justly toward God and man, our neighbors, loving mercy. Number three, to walk humbly. And how do we walk humbly? We walk humbly by walking like God tells us to walk. By walking carefully, that we are careful to walk in the paths of righteousness. Broad is the gate that leads to destruction. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to righteousness. To walk humbly is not only to walk carefully, but it indicates a close communion. A close communion with our Heavenly Father. Ultimately, one day, after our walk with God is over, however and whenever that is, one day, ultimately, God will say, individually and to His children, His people, God will say, "You are My people." And He won't just be talking about Jewish people. He won't just be talking about the people around Jerusalem in the land of Israel. He will be talking about His people over the whole earth. God will say, "You are My people." And we will say, "You are My God." Let's go to Hosea 1 and 10. Hosea 1 and 10. "Yet the number of the sons of Israel will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it will come about that in the place where it is said to them, 'You are not My people,' it will be said to them, 'You are the sons of the living God.'" Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to know that if you have faith and belief and put your trust in the Almighty God and His Son Jesus Christ, that you are as the most loving child that God has ever had since the beginning of man on this earth. You are precious to God like that. You are as if the most righteous Jewish person that had ever been. The most right living person when God accepts you. Let's go to Hosea 2:23. The books of the Old Testament are wonderful. When you go into the latter part of the Old Testament and those books of prophecy that talks about God's children coming back and how He's going to restore the nation of Israel. He's going to bring Judah and Israel back together again. He's going to restore. He's going to bring His people that are scattered from all over the world. We know that is happening in a true sense with the children of Israel right now as they go back into Israel and make it their land. But so many wonderful things that let you know that when God brings this about, as He is already doing now and has for at least 50 or 60 years now, that so many wonderful other things go along with it that is yet to happen. Hosea 2:23, "And I will sow her for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they will say, thou art my God." Isn't that something? You think we might could find any kind of inkling of this same thing within the New Testament? Let's go to Romans 9. Let's go to Romans 9 and 26. To please God is what we're aiming toward. Romans 9:26. "And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God." And we're definitely to take that, brothers and sisters of the Lord, of all ages. In closing, I'd like to go to Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Do you want to please God this morning? Do you want to do those things that you know that keeps you in the right place with Him? You know, if we do, blessings is going to come our way. Just as we've read already, prosperity will come our way if we hold ourselves true to Him and faithful to Him. If we don't, we know the opposite is true. It will bring bad things. Peace is within the Lord. Isaiah 55 and 7. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." That sounds like New Testament ideas to me. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Let's go to Isaiah 56 and verse 1. "Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness. For my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed." I thank the Lord that through His Word, He lets us know what it takes to please Him. We don't have to be wondering. It's not a secret. God gave us laws and words throughout all of His Bible. They are life to us. They are life abundantly, overflowing with joy and peace to us as we open up our heart and our faith and our mind and our walks toward Him. If you would, stand with me in prayer.